Is it a virus?
We don't know.
How does it spread? Is it airborne?
Airborne is a possibility. We don't know.
Is this an international health hazard or a military concern?
Both.
Are these people alive or dead?
Hold them down!
We don't know.
You need someone to show you the ropes, huh? And you just come to me.
Today, we will be continuing our interview with T and Veronica Benton. T and Veronica are no strangers to the devastation that pornography can cause in a marriage. In last week's podcast, they shared a little of the story about T's past struggle with pornography and Veronica's struggle with her self-image as a result. They also spoke a little about how they overcame these obstacles to have a healthier marriage. T and Veronica are the founding members of The White Collar Sideshow, a musical group dedicated to talking about the devastation that pornography can cause and how people can break free from it. In today's podcast, we continue our interview with them and talk a little about their band and their message. This is part two of their interview with us here on the Covenant Eyes podcast.
You've been traveling with a performance called The White Collar Sideshow. People have probably been to your site. They might be even going there right now as they listen to this, whitecollarsideshow.com. And they're going to see some things that may look a little strange. And so I want to give them the backstory on this thing, because I think this is a pretty unique way of going about telling the story of your addiction and then also the story of your recovery. What in the world gave you the idea for this?
At the time, I was dealing with pornography addiction. I've only been a Christian for... Well, I guess 9 years. After about a year of Christianity, I actually started performing with a Christian rock band, and I performed with them for 5 years, but during those 5 years, my drug addictions were not there anymore, but that's when I realized that I had a pornography addiction, and so that's how I kind of felt trapped in this little dungeon of doing what God wanted me to do and then going home and doing what I wanted to do, and that's where this whole kind of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde theme for the White Collar Sideshow came about. After Veronica and I, you know, started accountability, I started having these crazy dreams. And I would start writing these dreams down. And they were storyboards for the videos, things in my life that I'd been through as far as dealing with my addictions and real-life stories. I would write and I would write and I would go, God, what are you doing in my life? Every night, Veronica would say, man, you've got to get some sleep. You've got to get some sleep. About 3.5 sleepless years, I had this notebook full of characters, the storyboards, the music, and everything that has to do with White Collar Sideshow. And I tell my wife, I'm like, Veronica, I've got this whole dream written down. It's unbelievable. I'd love to for you to be a part of this. Veronica managed a multi-million-dollar business. And she's like, I'm not giving you any money for this crazy thing. I mean, and so I kept writing. I started piecing things together, and I started coming up with this theme of, who are we really on the outside, and who do we become behind closed doors when nobody's looking? Kind of like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I wanted to do something that was real, that was true, that was brutally honest and not sugarcoating the way we do in a lot of Christian themes today. And yes, there's a lot of different characters. I myself perform as a ringleader or ringmaster.
Let me just sort of summarize here for our listeners what this show is really all about. For the most part, there's an on-stage presence with you, Veronica, and Philip. And is Tristan on stage with you as well, your son?
He performs with us a lot of our local performances, and then he travels with us when he's not in school, summertime, okay, and things like that.
Okay, so you have you guys on the stage, and for the most part, it's a percussion and bass show that you're playing, right, from the stage?
Yeah, that's right. It's kind of like a Blue Man Group meets Rob Zombie in some strange sort of way.
Okay. Yeah. So you have this, it's on stage presence, but really what's going on stage is more or less providing sort of the musical backdrop for what's going on the screen and these highly symbolic sensory sort of videos that you're playing to the audience. And you made these videos yourself.
Well, I wrote and directed the videos, and they were based on the dreams out of my mind dealing with the different addictions I've been going through, you know, real life situations that husband and wives go through, that kids go through when they're home alone and making sure mom and dad aren't in there, you know, looking behind them while they're on the computer.
Sure.
Different situations that I felt people would find that pornography was kind of involved in their life. And
so
yes, the videos tell the stories to each of the songs.
Oh, okay.
And each character that's on the stage is symbolic in its own way as well. My wife performs as the Faceless Woman, where she plays in a big go-go cage, and she wears a mask that looks like a China doll. And her character is called the Faceless Woman because that's the way I used to look at women.
Faceless in the sense body that they're just a body, not an actual person.
That's right. You know, not respecting women, not having a conversation with their eyes or their heart, but just noticing them for their assets and things like that, you know, visually. And a lot of guys are like that in today's world. And then Philip plays a character called the Mask, and he switches between a gas mask and a pig mask. The pig mask being the creepy character of the whole show, although creepy, has a great symbolic message. He stems from my hidden addiction. Sometimes when we deal with things that are hidden in our hearts, we become the swine, the dirtiness.
What about the gas mask?
The gas mask is a sweet representation of the warfare you have between your mind and your heart, what you should do and what you shouldn't do. It's a constant battle. Every time you get on the computer, when you log into your MySpace page or your Facebook or any online community now, the first thing you see is adult advertising. You know, am I going to recognize this temptation or am I going to go through with it? God, please, I'm praying, but I still do it anyway.
When T came to you with these ideas about the show, what was your initial reaction to this? And then how did you get involved and how are you involved right now?
Honestly, I thought he was crazy because it was so weird. All of the dreams that he had been having, he had been writing all these things down in this composition book, and he's trying to tell me, you know, everything about it. And, well, we have to have this. And in my mind, all, you know, I'm the business side of our relationship anyway. I manage all of our money. And so in my mind, I kept saying dollar signs and dollar signs and dollar signs. And I was like, what in the world are you talking about? So I wouldn't fork over any money. But he and Philip started just messing around on the drums at our house. And we had a missionary come and talk at our church on July 16th, 2006. And he was actually out of town. He was in Minnesota at the time. And the missionary was talking about, what are you really living for? What are you passionate about? What is your life story? And I had a huge revelation that day. I was actually leading worship at our church that day. And first service, I'm sitting there, and I felt like he was talking only to me. Hmm. And I realized if I died that day and I went to heaven, Jesus would be like, okay, what'd you do for me? What do you have? What was your life all about? All it would have been about was a big bank account and my four-bedroom house and then 1966 Austin Healey. I mean, really. I mean, I was volunteering, but I wasn't living my life 100% for God. And so, really, God didn't say jump that day. He yelled, jump. And I had no idea what I was jumping into, but I called T in between services, and I said, babe, whatever this is you've been writing down, I just got confirmation from God. We're doing it. We're selling everything we own. We're doing this, whatever it is. I'll manage it.
Selling everything you own.
Yes. Yes. Okay. God said it that day. That day, July 16th, 2006. He said
it. What, and this everything, is this like, you mean house, car, the whole bit?
House, cars, everything. And I've never been like that. You know, I managed a multi-million-dollar company. I went to college. I've got a degree in marketing. And so my life was the American dream. Minus the 2.5 kids, we were there. Well, he thought I was nuts when I told him this over the phone. And so I went back to...
He thought you were nuts.
He's like, well, this lady's crazy. I've been asking for this, and now she's actually giving it to me. You know, she's on drugs. So he was home 2 days later. And by the time he got home, I had a business plan. I had the budget. I mean, I was ready to pour my entire life savings into this. He was blown away. He's like, this is what I've been needing. This is what I've been needing. About a year and a half ago, he said, I had a dream about a chick bass player. And I was like, oh, cool. I can't wait to meet her. You know, that's going to be awesome. And he said, no, I'm pretty sure it's you. I was like, what? I don't play bass. Are you kidding me? I sing, well, but I don't. I've never played an instrument.
This. Oh, really?
No, I've never played an instrument. Never. And so a year ago, I got a bass on, or a year and a half ago or so, I got a bass online. And I had somebody kind of show me some bass parts. we just kind of evolved from there. Our first show was March 14th last year. I actually quit my job in May of last year. My boss cried, and everybody thought we were absolutely crazy. And then we closed on the sale of our house on March 10th. So we've officially, every single thing we own, we've sold it, aside from what's in the RV and trailer.
You're living in this trailer, traveling around.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Traveling and around the country.
T before has told me a little bit about what the trailer looks like, and I hear it's got a it's quite a sight going down the road.
It's definitely, people are always having their, we almost cause a lot of wrecks actually. People will have their cell phone cameras out trying to take pictures.
And what is it like for you as the faceless woman? I mean, do you get to have a lot of conversations maybe with women during these shows?
Absolutely. I mentioned earlier, every single time we have a show, we end up talking and praying with people. But I'll have women come up to me and say, how did you get past the point of feeling like it's your fault? And it's tough. I mean, it really is tough. But, I mean, that was like a huge step in T's recovery and our recovery as a couple. I end up talking to so many women that are dealing with body issues, even if they don't have anybody in their life that's struggling with pornography, just with us as women in general, it's just something that we deal with. It's just kind of like our curse. I just encourage them that they are fearfully and wonderfully made.
And just as a side note, why is it called White Collar Sideshow?
I was a big fan of the band Embodiment whenever they were around, the greatest band nobody's ever heard of. And one of their lyrics in one of their songs was a real soft song, and one of the lyrics was White Collar Sideshow, and I mean, White Collar to me means everybody. It means everything. And Sideshow for me is another word for sin. And so I thought, you know what? Sideshow is a great way to put what you're dealing with. I always tell people, man, we all have different sideshows that haunt who we are, and how these sideshows affect us that determine the very core of our own souls.
You guys are a real picture of that verse in 1 Corinthians, that God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And I think that so there are things that God will call us to that are guaranteed to not work unless he is involved in them. And I think that you guys are living on the ragged edge of that reality.
Thank you for saying that, man. That means a lot to me.
You've been listening to our interview with T and Veronica Benton of the White Collar Sideshow. You can find out more about them and their touring schedule on their website, whitecollarsideshow.com.